I'm Nathan Jahnke. I'm a PhD student from North Carolina State University, and today I'll be presenting some of the work I did during my master's on the effects of ethylene and 1-MCP on botrytis development on unrooted cuttings of pelargonium. Starting off with some background information, unrooted cuttings are a main propagule used by the floriculture industry to produce a variety of plants. These are beneficial for fast rooting, fast growth of the plant, and they're economical for the grower to use. Many of our cuttings used to be produced in the United States, but production has moved into Central America for labor cost reasons as well as environment. So now we import almost all of our cuttings into the United States that are then shipped to a variety of rooting stations, which obviously root our cuttings. Those are called liners and are then transported again to a variety of growers who finish out those plants to produce our finished material so that everyone in America could get the same poinsettia or the same geranium. It's approximated that about 1.5 billion cuttings are imported into North America every year, and these cuttings are in transit about 2 to 4 days. As seen in this picture here, cuttings are only protected by a cardboard box, maybe some bubble wrap, and then maybe an ice pack during warm temperatures to keep it down, to keep those cuttings cool, and sometimes in warm or cool times, they'll use styrofoam to help insulate that box. After we create liners, they are again shipped in cardboard boxes with very little to control the environment or the weather that those boxes are experiencing. So suppliers and growers are pretty much up to whatever's happening during the transit of those plant material. Geranium is one of the most popular and common floriculture crops produced and shipped via these methods and are the main plant that I'll be using in this experiment. They're also prone to two main post-harvest factors, the first being Botrytis cinerea, which causes gray mold and stem blight on geraniums. It can infect over 200 different species of plant, many being floriculture species that we grow. Grows well between 68 and 86 degrees Fahrenheit, and it needs about 4 hours of leaf wetness and over 80% humidity to infect and grow on our plants. Another interesting fact about this fungus is that there's no known complete resistance in any of our hosts. So you can't breed or insert a resistance gene into our hosts and make them resistant. That leaves cultural practices such as reducing our leaf wetness or increasing air circulation and fungicides. Another important post-harvest factor is ethylene. This is an invisible gas and plant hormone and basically causes a plant to mature and go towards senescence. In geranium, we see this as leaf yellowing. There's also some literature on the potential genetic defense responses that ethylene invokes in plants, which we'll get into in a little bit. In controlling this post-harvest factor, we reduce our temperatures, as Kelly said earlier, so that our plants are producing less ethylene, and also using ethylene inhibitors and anti-ethylene agents that we can gas our plants with or spray on them. So growers came to us wondering if there was a connection between ethylene sensitivity and botrytis susceptibility, specifically on geraniums. And the literature has already found that, as well as salicylic acid, methyl jasminate, and ethylene, have some defense responses within plants and pathogen systems. Looking at insensitive mutants through genetic manipulation in Arabidopsis, tomato, and soybean, particularly in soybean, they found that when they made plants insensitive to ethylene, they were more susceptible or similarly susceptible to the control to Septoria and Rhizoctonia, but less or similar to Pseudomonas and Phytophthora. So this means that our interactions are very specific between our host and our pathogen, as well as the hormone or the metabolite that's being used to induce a defense response. So our question in this research was, does the presence of ethylene or anti-ethylene agents affect botrytis development? And again, we're specifically looking at unrooted cuttings during the post-harvest shipping and storage. We used four cultivars that we had determined their ethylene sensitivity and botrytis susceptibility in previous experiments, and they were first either left untreated or treated with 1 part per million ethylene or 700 parts per billion 1-methyl cyclopropene. And 1-MCP is a fairly new anti-ethylene agent that's used commercially. After those cuttings had been imposed with the pretreatments for about 24 hours, they were either kept dry, sprayed with a spore carrier solution. So this doesn't contain any of our spores, but this is how we collect our inoculum. And then cuttings are either or inoculated with botrytis at 10 to the 6 spores per milliliter and placed in a jar with a moist paper towel to help our humidity be around 100% for development. Cuttings were received from growers and sorted by leaf number and stem length, and we had 5 reps with 9 cuttings per rep. We measured ethylene production at 24, 48, and 96 hours, and after that 4-day incubation, rated for leaf yellowing and botrytis development. So obviously we need a way to consistently rate the damage on our plants, and I developed these 2 rating scales, one on leaf yellowing here. As our rating goes from 0 to 6, we increase the leaf yellowing seen on those leaves. And then similarly with disease development from 0 to 5, you get an increasing number of lesions and lesion size until that plant is basically dead at rating 5. This was a complete randomized design, and we analyzed it using GLIMIX procedures and Tukey standardized range tests with an alpha set at 0.05. And the values we'll see later in the graphs are based on the least squared means. First of all, for ethylene production, we have our gas pretreatments on interacting with the time that we sampled ethylene production on the x-axis. And you can see that our ethylene pretreated cuttings and the control were basically similar throughout the ethylene production or incubation. However, when cuttings were treated with 1-MCP, we saw a significant increase at every time for ethylene production. So you may be wondering, why would an anti-ethylene agent cause our cuttings to produce more of what we don't want? So what's happening here is this gas is actually bonding to our ethylene receptors, and so the plants can't perceive that there's ethylene in their atmosphere, which causes them to produce more. So it's a feedback system, and so if our plants can't sense ethylene in their atmosphere, they're going to keep producing it. Now looking at our different cultivars here on your left with our gas pretreatments on the x-axis, you can see that again our ethylene production was similar between our control and our ethylene treated cuttings, but when we applied 1-MCP we saw a significant increase of ethylene production with the only standout was Americana red in the blue. Moving on to our leaf yellowing ratings, again, with our pretreatments on the x-axis, again, we saw that ethylene really didn't increase the leaf yellowing on our cuttings, which was pretty interesting because most people believe that ethylene causes an increase of yellowing, specifically on geraniums. But luckily, 1-MCP was able to reduce the amount of damage basically on every single cultivar except for Tango Dark Red, with Americana Red being the most affected. Moving on to our botrytis damage, we have our sprays that we use on the x-axis and our botrytis damage on the y-axis. So our dry cuttings did see some botrytis development, and so this was probably some small lesions or a latent spore on our cuttings that developed during that high humidity period during the incubation, with not much of an increase, but a little bit more with that solution. So that solution is keeping that leaf wetness on the plants for the botrytis to infect. Looking at the botrytis, we saw not very much of an increase on Americana Red, so I would consider that cultivar to be more resistant compared to the other cultivars because we're adding inoculum and we're not seeing that much of an increase in disease. Comparatively, you can look at Patriot Rose Pink having a significant increase of disease damage, so I would say that that cultivar is more susceptible compared to the other 3. Here we can see the main effect of our gas pretreatments on the botrytis damage, and you'll see that our control and 1-MCP actually had similar disease ratings. So 1-MCP was able to keep that damage down compared to ethylene, which actually increased it a little bit. Looking at the values on the bottom here, there's not much of a difference between those ratings. So I wouldn't say that 1-MCP is a commercially viable method that you can impose on your cuttings to protect them from botrytis, but it is saying a little bit that ethylene can increase that damage a little bit. And that might be because there's a little bit more yellowing and senescence, so botrytis can infect easier. In conclusion, we saw that ethylene pretreatments didn't actually increase our leaf yellowing, but it did increase our botrytis ratings. 1-MCP was able to minimize that leaf yellowing as well as minimize that botrytis damage compared to ethylene-treated cuttings. And then looking at the cultivars, Patriot Rose Pink was the most susceptible out of the group, and Americana Red was the least sensitive to ethylene and the least susceptible to botrytis. With that, I'd like to thank the following sponsors as well as our research group at NC State for helping me with this research, and I'll take any questions. Thank you. So in this study, the question was, did we look at how the cuttings rooted out after we had treated them? And in this study, we didn't look at the rooting of the cuttings afterwards, but I think it would be beneficial to look at how much damage is bad for the cuttings. Like if you stick them and it has maybe a few lesions on it, is that cutting still going to pull through? Is it worth propagating? So I think that's a valid study to move forward in. So the question was, if ethylene isn't causing leaf yellowing, what could be causing that yellowing? So I wouldn't say that ethylene is not completely causing leaf yellowing, but other factors might be temperature as well as dark storage. Carbohydrates would be a main one. Any other questions? So the main thing is to keep up your cultural practices to reduce the chances that you're going to have botrytis during shipping. We obviously need to look at some other methods of control for botrytis during shipping. 1-MCP I don't think is going to satisfy that. So I guess my suggestions would be to look at what's happening during our shipping. I don't think there's a good knowledge of tracking of your temperature, how long it's taking for those cuttings to get there. We can't obviously determine if a shipment's going to get delayed or not, but if you know in real time what's going on with your shipment, you might be able to better answer these questions on how to protect your cuttings. Yeah, the cuttings were shipped from a farm to us, and then we applied treatments.
Do you think that if the production farm had applied the 1-MCP during shipping, or before shipping, do you think that it would have had more of an effect then, other than later on in the process?
Yeah, it could have been more effective if it... So obviously some of these cuttings went through a shipping period before this experiment is what is happening. And so it could be more effective, especially in reducing leaf yellowing. But in previous experiments, not included in this research, we had looked at least liner shipments and how much yellowing is occurring during that two-day period, which is pretty consistent for liners. And growers usually aren't seeing any yellowing on their liners. So as long as that time is kept around 2 days. All right, thank you.